Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Creation, chapter 14, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. We're on text number 38. Yad Bahu Dandabhyudayanujivino. Yad Bahu Dandabhyudayanujivino. Yadu Pravira Hi Akutobaya Muhu. Yadu Pravira Hi Akutobaya Muhu. Adi Kramanti Angribir Aritam Balat. Adi Kramanti Angribir Aritam Balat. Savam Sudharmam Sura Satamo Chitam. Sabam Sudharmam Sura Satamo Chitam. Yad Bahu Dandabhyudayanu Jivano. Yadu Pravirahi Arkutubaya Muhu. Arikramanti Angribir Aritam Balat. Sabam Sudharmam Sudasatam Ochitam. Yad Bahu Dandabhyudayanu Jivano. Yadu Pravirahi Erkuto Vayamuhu. Arikramanti Angribir Aritam Balat. Sabam Sudharmam Surasatam Ochitam. Yes, sir. Okay, sure. Yad Bahu Dandabhyudayanu Jivino. Yadu Pravirahi Akuto Bayamuhu. Arikramanti Angribir Aritam Balat. Sabam Sudharmam Sudasatam Ochitam. Is that good? Yat. Whose. Bahudanda. Arms. Abhyudaya. Influenced by. Anujivana, always living. Yadu, the members of the Yadu dynasty. Praviraha, great heroes. Hiyakutobhyaya, fearless in every respect. Muhu, constantly. Adikramanti, traversing. Angribi, by foot. Aritam, brought about. Balat, by force. Sabam, assembly house. Sudharmam, Sudharma. Surasattama, the best among the demigods. Achitam, deserving. translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great heroes of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of Lord Sri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect, and therefore their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which the best demigods deserved, by which was taken away from them. Purport. Those who are directly servitors of the Lord are protected by the Lord from all fearfulness, and they also enjoy the best of things, even if they are forcibly accumulated. The Lord is equal in behavior to all living beings, but he is partial to his pure devotees, being very affectionate toward them. The city of Dwarka was flourishing, being enriched with the best of things in the material world. The state assembly house is constructed according to the dignity of the particular state. In the heavenly planets, the state assembly house called Sudharma was deserving of the dignity of the best of the demigods. Such an assembly house is never meant for any state on the globe, because the human beings on the earth is unable to construct it. However, for a particular state, however far a particular state may be materially advanced, but during the time of Lord Krishna's presence on the earth, the members of the Yadu family forcibly brought the celestial assembly house to earth and placed it at Dwarka. There they were able to use such force because they were certain of the indulgence and protection of the Supreme Lord Krishna. In other words, the Lord is provided with the best things in the universe by his pure devotees. Lord Krishna was provided with all kinds of comforts and facilities available within the universe by the members of the Yadu dynasty. And in return, such servitors of the Lord were protected and fearless. A forgetful, conditioned soul is fearful, but a liberated soul is never fearful, just as a small child, completely dependent on the mercy of his father, is never fearful of anyone. Fearlessness is a sort of illusion for the living being when he is in slumber and forgetting his eternal relation with the Lord. Since a living being is never to die by his constitution, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2:20, then what is the cause of fearfulness? A person may be fearful of a tiger in a dream, but another man who is awake by his side sees no tiger there. The tiger is a myth for both of them, namely the person dreaming and the person awake, because actually there is no tiger. But the man forgetful of his awakened life is fearful, whereas the man who has not forgotten his position is not at all fearful. Thus, the members of the Yadu dynasty were fully awake in their service to the Lord, and therefore there was no tiger for them to be afraid of at any time. Even if there were a tiger, was a real tiger, the Lord was there to protect them. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmanitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Tadati Swabhanatikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhischa Kripasindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Translation again. The great heroes of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of Lord Sri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect, and therefore their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which the best demigods deserved, but was taken away from them. So today I'd like to mention three different topics. Prabhupada mentions fear, and also we're discussing love the Pandavas have for Krishna, and this is him departing. And then this interesting Sudharma assembly house. We'll discuss those three things today, which is very interesting. So So actually, first of all, there's regards to fear. Srila Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita, that verse. Najayate mriyateva kadachin mayam bhutva bhavitana vana bhuyaha ajo nitya sasvato yam prano nahanyate hanyamani sarire. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. And in the Prabhupada writes a very nice purport to this particular verse. And he mentions here, sometimes the soul is called kutastha, which means that it's steady. It doesn't change because the body, it changes. Actually, it goes through transformations. And Prabhupada mentions those here, how it remains for some time, it grows, it produces some effects, gradually dwindles, and at last vanishes into oblivion. But the soul, it doesn't go through these changes. So that's a big difference, how the soul is eternal. It's this kutastha, it never changes. It doesn't deteriorate like anything material, a tree or flower, things like that. So it's always there. And even Prabhupada mentions the byproducts of the body, namely the children, so many different things. They are actually, the soul doesn't have byproducts. That's just from the body. He mentions that in this particular chapter. But the soul, this body goes through these six changes that he mentioned. And then he also mentions how we can see that this consciousness or the soul, the spirit soul, is in the body. Can you hear okay? Okay. So, and he uses a nice analogy how as soon as there's light in the sky, you can know that the sun is coming. So in the same way, we could tell if there's a soul in a particular body is by the consciousness. So we see that there. And then Prabhupada mentions towards the end of this purport that both the super soul, the Paramatma, and the atomic soul, Jivatma, are situated on the same tree of the body within the same heart of the living being. And only one who has become free from all material desires, as well as lamentation, can, by the grace of the Supreme, understand the glories of the soul. So here's the hint. So we become free from this fear, this lamentation, material desires. Then we can really understand the nature of the spirit soul. So that was very nice there. And let's see, we have to reboot this. Okay. So there's a couple more things I'd like to mention about fear. And this is an interesting definition. For some reason, we don't have any internet connection. Let's see here. Looks like we're between Jorkadish is going on and off. Okay. Here we go. Anyway, I had this on the internet, and it's not downloading it properly. For some reason, Rukmini Dorkadish, let's try a different password here. Okay. Did they change Rukmini Dwarkadish's password for 5G? No. It says the password is not correct. Okay, let's see if we can get this here. Oh, here we go. All right, finally, we got on a different network. Thank you. So, there's a nice definition of fear. It's from the Anglo-Saxon fear, which means a sudden attack. And it's akin to the old German word fear, which basically means ambushed. You're snared or entrapped. So this is very interesting how this fear is there. So we can see that this material nature is entrapping us. And if we get so absorbed in the material nature, then we will become fearful like that. So that's a very simple definition. And then if we read in Srila Prabhupada's books, this is from the first canto, 11th chapter, there's text number 2. Prabhupada talks there how about the holy name vanquishes the fear of the material existence. And he says here, the material existence is our present, in our present, of our present status, is full of fear. Out of the four problems of material existence, namely the food problem, the shelter problem, the fear problem, and the mating problem, the fear problem gives us more trouble than the others. We're always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. The whole material existence is full of problems, and thus the fear problem is always prominent. This is due to our association with the illusory energy of the Lord, known as Maya, or the external energy. Yet all fear is vanquished as soon as there is the sound of the Lord, represented by His holy name, as it was sounded by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we just take advantage of these sounds and be free from this threatening position. And then there's one more quote here from the Krishna book. By crying out the word Krishna, one can get at once transcend the fearful situation. This is in regard where the calves were pasturing nearby. They entered into the deep forest, allured by new grasses, and gradually went out of sight. When the boys saw that the calves were not nearby, they became afraid for their safety, and they immediately cried out, Krishna! Krishna is the killer of fear personified. Everyone is afraid of fear personified, but fear personified is afraid of Krishna. By crying out the word Krishna, the boys at once transcended the fearful situation. So see, this is how we become free from fear. I was listening to a Memories by Shama Sundar yesterday. They were playing on YouTube, our YouTube channel. And Shama Sundar goes, you know, I have to go away for a little while, Prabhupada. He goes, oh, where are you going? He goes, I have to go to jail because I did something. He goes, what did you do? He goes, because I was selling drugs. And then Prabhupada goes, oh, I used to also sell drugs, you know. But he was like a pharmaceutical business. But he said, anyway, it doesn't matter. Krishna went to jail. He was born in jail. And if you just chant Hare Krishna when you're there, then everything will be okay. You won't be fearful position. So just see the power. It's applicable even today. So now there's a really nice lecture Srila Prabhupada gave. This was in 73 in New York. And it's related to this particular chapter. And this is when Yudhisthira is to question him here, and he finally realizes, oh, is it because of your intimate friend, Lord Krishna? I can't think of any other reason why you're dejected, because is he gone? And then Prabhupada talks about in the purport about love, which we mentioned we're going to discuss. And this is very nicely described in this lecture. And there's just a few couple paragraphs I'm going to read from that lecture. Prabhupada saying, so Krishna was the intimate friend of Arjuna. Not only to Arjuna, all the Pandavas. So they cannot tolerate separation from Krishna. This is the sign of Krishna devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, I have no love for Krishna. The verse, just now, I forget. Na prema gando sti. That's from the Madhya 2:45. So you have no love for Krishna? You are always crying for Krishna, and still you say that you have no love for Krishna. No, I'm crying just to make a show. Actually, I have no love for Krishna. Why? That because if I could have been a devotee of Krishna, how could I live without him? I have not died. Still, that means I have no love for Krishna. This is a sign of love, that a lover cannot live for a moment without being associated with the beloved. This is a sign of love. And Prabhupada says here, so this love, it can be appreciated only between Radha and Krishna, or between the gopis and Krishna, not otherwise. Actually, we do not know what is the meaning of love. So that's very nice. And then Prabhupada goes on talking about this love between friends. He says, so the best friend is Surit. Surit means without any return. If you think of somebody, how he will be happy, that is called Surit. So Hridayen Atma Banduna. Krishna was always thinking of Arjuna, and that is the relationship. Krishna says, Sadavo Hridayam Mayam. That's from 9.468. As a devotee always thinks of Krishna, similarly, Krishna also thinks of his devotee. He thinks more. That is the reciprocation. And then he quotes Bhagavad Gita, Yayata Mam Prabhajante. And he says here, if you think of Krishna 24 hours, Krishna will think of you 26 hours. Krishna is so kind. If you do some service for Krishna, Krishna will reward you 100 times. But people, they do not want. They think, what we shall benefit by serving Krishna? Let us serve my dog. You see? This is the misunderstanding. And our attempt is to awaken the dormant love of Krishna. Everyone has got love. The stock of love is there, but it is being misused. They do not know where to place that love. Because they do not know, therefore they are frustrated. Therefore they are frustrated. So our Krishna consciousness movement is simply to educate people that you are loving. You are mad after an appropriate lover who can love you also. But that you cannot find out within this mature world. That you will not find out when you love Krishna. That is our Krishna consciousness. It is nothing very superfluous or concocted. Everyone can understand that I want to love somebody, hankering, but he is finding frustration because he does not love Krishna. So it's encouraging us that we should turn our love for Krishna. So this is very nicely described here. And he says here, that's our constitutional position, that's real religion, and the Pandavas, they're actually on the level of Krishna, and how everybody's actually on that platform, but in different degrees. So somebody's loving his family, somebody's loving his wife, somebody's loving society, but the ultimate point is that you have to love Krishna. And this Dharma is not fanaticism, actually means real characteristic, which is to love. So Prabhupada ends here with, so our real position, constitutional position, is to love Krishna. But now we have become hard-hearted not to love Krishna. And he uses an example in nature that you see how water, when it becomes hard, that's not its natural nature, only when it's liquid. So he's using that analogy that our heart is becoming hard like ice. So he says here, on account of some circumstantial position, water becomes ice. When the temperature is very low, the water becomes hard. Similarly, if we do not love Krishna, then our hearts will be harder and harder and harder. Heart is there for love. But why are you so hard-hearted? Why are you so much hard-hearted that we kill another fellow being or another animal? We do not care for it. For my satisfaction of the tongue, because we have become hard-hearted. Hard-hearted. On account of not being a lover of Krishna, we're all hard-hearted. Prabhupada just goes on that. So then he ends. Actually, this is the last paragraph. Therefore, the whole world is unhappy. But if you, Hridayena, therefore it is said, Prestatamena, Hridayenatma, Banduna. If you love Krishna, who is our real friend, and then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. So when you actually become a devotee of Krishna, because Krishna's qualities are there within you, although a small quantity, So you also become Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, friend of all living entities. Suridam. What is the business of a Vaishnava? Vaishnava business is to become compassionate with the persons who are suffering materially. This is Vaishnavism. Therefore, Vaishnava description is Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So that was really nice. So to see how we see the Pandavas example of this chapter is that we're understanding what it means to love and how they were so much attached to Krishna. And if you lose that, it's hard to even live, you know. But when Krishna was here, actually they were trying to offer Krishna the best of things from in the entire universe, as described here when they built Dwarka, the city of Dwarka. Actually, it was built because Krishna was worried. You know, he was being attacked by Jarasundar on one side, and then this big demon, what was his name? Kalavanya now or something? He was attacking on the other side. So Krishna was concerned about the citizens because of love. So he created this Dwarka, this, you know, so many hundreds of yojanas in circumference in the ocean. I just said like a wink of an eye. And then that night when all the residents of Dwarka went to sleep, they woke up the next day and they were in their new palace. It was all beautified. And so some very nice descriptions to Prabhupada's books like that. So so here's a little section here where Prabhupada describes the city. Actually, this is through in the 10th canto, chapter 50. So some of the translations there and the purports are from Srila Prabhupada's servants. So this is after Krishna discussed the matter with Balaram, who the Supreme Personality of God had a fortress 12 yojanas in circumference built within the sea. Inside that fort, he had a city built containing all kinds of wonderful things. And in the next verse, it describes, in the construction of that city could be seen the full scientific knowledge and architectural skill of Vishvakarma. There were wide avenues, commercial roads, and courtyards laid out on ample plots of land. There were splendid parks and also gardens stocked with trees and creepers from the heavenly planets. The gateway towers were topped with golden turrets touching the sky, and their upper levels were fashioned of crystal quartz. The gold-covered houses were adorned in front with golden pots and on top with jeweled roofs, and their floors were inlaid with precious emeralds. Beside the houses stood treasury buildings, warehouses and stables for fine horses, all built of silver and brass. Each residence had a watchtower and also a temple for its household deity. Filled with citizens of all four social orders, the city was especially beautiful by the palaces of Sri Krishna, the Lord of the Yadus. So then in the purport, they're quoting Sridhar Swami. He explains that the state highways, the Ratya, were in front, and the secondary roads, Vitya, behind. And between them were courtyards, Katvarani. Within these courtyards were surrounding walls, and within the walls stood golden residences, atop which stone crystal watchtowers crowned with golden pots. Thus the buildings were multi-storied. The word Vastu indicates that the houses and buildings were constructed on ample plots of land with plenty of room for green areas. So then it talks here about how, I guess Lord Indra here says, brought the Sudharma assembly hall, standing within which a mortal man is not subjected to the laws of mortality. And then Indra also gave the Parijata tree. So here it says that Indra gave it, but actually, you know, they took it. And different demigods, they offered different things. Like Varuna offered horses as swift as the mind, and they were pure dark blue, and others were white. And then Kurvera gave 8 mystic treasures, and the rulers of various planets each presented their own opulences. So this is very interesting. Have you ever heard of the 8 mystic treasures? here just gives the Sanskrit name. They're called Padma, Mahapadma, Matsya, Kurma, Aduka, Nila, Makunda, and Sankha. So that's very interesting. So different demigods, they offer different things. And this is the opulence that Krishna had. So when Narada visited all these places, he saw Krishna expanded 16,108 times. And he was enjoying differently with all the different residents and all his wives and all his palaces. And so he would leave the house, and then as he was leaving the house, you know, his wives would be giving, you know, flirting glances and postures, and Krishna would smile at them and they'd be happy. But then after Krishna would leave all his palaces, he would come back into one person. And that's when he'd enter the Sudharma house. And then he would meet for the day with all the different residents and the great heroes and everything. They discuss things going on. And there's many different pastimes throughout the Bhagavatam of things that took place there in that particular time. Now the thing about this Sudharma house is that anyone who enters it will not experience the six waves of the material energy, namely thirst, hunger, old age, disease, and even death for you there. So that's why it's described that it's not fit to be on this planet. It's not fit. But when Krishna's here, then he's fit to have everything, the best of everything in the entire universe. So that's why they just took these things for Krishna. They didn't care. They were fearless because they said, this is for Krishna. Krishna deserves the best. So this is why he had that there. So one time, they all assembled in this Sudharma house. Balaram came, and he was furious. And he got all the warriors together. They met in the house. And he said, I guess today's Balaram's Rasa. So I didn't look that up, but we'll just read this because it relates to this verse about the Sudharma house. And, you know, a little pastime of Balaram. And Balaram became very angry. And because why? Because Arjuna actually kidnapped Subhadra. And he was really mad. And he wanted to go out and kill him and all these things. And Narada Muni was there and Krishna was there. And so they said, well, let's see what Krishna has to say about this. And Krishna was like smiling and he was like, no, actually, I think it's okay. I don't think he's disrespected us by kidnapping Subhadra. Because look, he's a warrior. And a warrior, you can't just give him a gift like if it's something used, you know. You know, and for a Kshatriya to actually get someone like Subhadra, you have to kidnap her. That's the only way he can get her. But I think it's a good match. So, you know, we should call him back and we should marry them with pomp. So everybody agreed and Balaram was pacified. So they went and got, you know, Arjuna and Subhadra, and they got married very nicely. So that was a very interesting pastime related to Balaram. And then another time, when this is when Samba was kidnapped, and Balaram was very much, he went to go and get him back. So, you know, they actually, when Balaram first came there, they were like worshiping him and everything. And they said, oh, Balaram, yes, you know, and everything. So then, and then Balaram said, you know, the king, I guess it was Ugrasena or somebody, said, okay, you have to give Samba back now because he, you know, he went and had stolen, I guess, Duryodhana's daughter. And Duryodhana was really upset about that. But then Balaram went to actually take him back. And then as soon as he said that, the crews became very, like, obnoxious and said, who do you think you are telling us what to do? It's like, you guys are like the shoes and we're like the crown and you're coming bossing us around. It's only because of us that you guys are able to enjoy all these opulences that you have, you know, like these, the fan, the whisk fan, the concha, all these things. And then they started really like being belligerent towards Balaram. And so Balaram became super angry. And he said, these guys, how can they actually say that we're not qualified to enjoy these things and that you guys are the crown and we are the shoes? And that's where he quotes How do you think that Krishna actually got the Sudharma house? That's only meant for like the best of the demigods. And Krishna is using it. And Krishna is using all these, like the Parijata tree. How do you think that we're lower than you when you guys can't even enjoy these things? So then Balaram said, okay, I'll put them in their place. So he brought out his plow and he started to drag the entire section of their city into the ocean. And he told the Ganges, just wipe them all out, just kill them all with your waves. And they were like, wow, fearful, and they're like freaked out, and they brought Samba and his wife, and they brought all their families and children, and they all offered obeisances to Balaram. And they said, oh, we're sorry, we didn't realize your position, you know, you're a very powerful personality, please forgive us. And he was pacified. And Prabhupada writes that how Kshatriyas, you know, that's their nature, is to like fight. And he kind of mentions that even then, like they test each other sometimes, Brahmana, like Kshatriyas. They'll like, you know, challenge you to a fight just to see how you'd react. And so in the same way, they kind of challenged Balaram in the same way as Kshatriyas, just to see, you know, just to test his power, just to see his power. So they got to see his power, which is very, very amazing. So anyway, I'll end there with that pastime. If there's any comments or questions, we could open it up for any discussion. Okay, well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai.